The text for today is the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And the title for the sermon is a call to faith. Be strong and courageous. God's assurance to his covenant people here and for us is the main point of this passage for us. And just a little bit of the background here. As you're going to see in verse 1, Moses is dead. So the great leader is dead. And certainly his death had a great impact on Joshua and all Israel. And as we know here, it's a new nation. And we know as well, he was a great leader. It was under Moses that God brought his people out of Egypt and gave them the law, made them as a nation. So many miracles. I can imagine how much Joshua and all Israelites were missing and mourning here the death of Moses. So we have here three challenges before Joshua and all Israelite here. We have a new leader to lead a new people to a new place. Everything is new. And I have heard that new bring fear. And it was not different here for these common people, Joshua. It's a new people. Most of the people that came out of, all of the people that came out of the Egypt, except the children, they were not allowed to enter in the promised land. They died. God judged them, because they were grumbling against God. So only Joshua and Caleb here. And these people, they are new, so new, they were not even circumcised. Chapter 5, they will be circumcised. And they are not even used to war, to battles. It's a new people. It's a great challenge. You can imagine you as Joshua leading these people into the promised land. So three challenges: new leader, new people, and new place. Coincidentally, for three times, the Lord will command Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, 7, 9. So tonight I want to invite you to learn what are the grounds for us to be strong and courageous. So let's go to the passage. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the lands that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the lands that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn it from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. From then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a great promise we have. Wherever we go, you promised us you be with us. And here we are at your house, having your holy word opened before us. Help us to understand. May your Holy Spirit open up our minds, bring our hearts to this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Courageous. Be strong and courageous. Let me present two kinds of courage here. The first one, Adrian Rogers, tell us about the man who bragged that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. Asked to why he hadn't cut off the lion's head, the man replied, someone had already done it. So it was easy for him to cut off the tail. But Eddie Rickenbacker was an American fighter, ace in World War I, a Medal of Honor recipient, with 21-6 aerial victories. One of the most successful fighters in the war. One day he said, courage is doing what you are afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you are scared. So to be courageous doesn't mean that you are not afraid. Contrary. So what is the first ground for Joshua to be courageous? That's imperative. Be strong and courageous. And the first ground we have here, look to verse 2. The Lord tells Joshua to get the people ready to cross the Jordan and to enter the promised land because he is about to give the promised land to his people. He says, I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. And verse 4, there is a description of the land. And then verse 5, no man will stand before you. But verse 6, go back to God's promise. For you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. All those passages here point us back to the promise that God has made to Abraham in Genesis. First, chapter 12, when the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, to your offspring I will give this land. Chapter 15, in the same way the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your offspring I give these lands. And he goes on to describe the lands just as we have here. And again, Genesis chapter 17, I will make you a great nation, and all those promises again and again. But a couple of things for us to highlight here. First one, notice that Yahweh, the Lord, is not making a new promise. As I already said, he's just renewing this promise. Or organically speaking, he extending the promise, making more clear what he had promised to Abraham. And second, see the language that he's using here, the sovereign language. I am giving, I have given, just as I promised, I swore. In other words, I will do it. Which reminds us of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will do it. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, he, Jesus, and you shall bruise his heel. So the first ground for Joshua to be strong and accept this call, it's a call to faith. The first ground here to be strong and courageous is God's faithfulness to his promise. God's everlasting covenant with his people. And see that God's not only command, but us providing the ground. As I like to say, always we're going to have the imperatives of the gospel with the indicatives. Here is what you are supposed to do. But you're going to do that in light of what Christ has done. Christ is the source for us. So that's why the title of this sermon is A Call to Faith. Because here, right here, it's a call to Joshua to trust God's faithfulness to his promise. Now see how God is speaking to Joshua here in verse 2 and 3. I am giving the land to the people of Israel. And then verse 3. I have given to you all. It's different. It's not the same thing. Did you notice? But first of all here, you see that the promised land is a gift from God. Moses and Joshua were just instruments. God is the land giver. He is the one. Just as he is the head of the church, just as he is the good shepherd. He is in charge. So the people are not supposed to fear just because Moses passed away. Just as we are not supposed to fear because we are without pastor. God is the land giver. And he is the pastor giver. Amen? You bring the man of his choosing. Now, another thing to notice here, going back to the tense, the verb tense here. In verse 3, we have the perfect verb pointing to a complete action. In other words, the land already belongs to Israel. God already gave the land. But in verse 2, the verb is in the imperfect and participle, which means I'm giving the land. The giving is not yet accomplished. It's in the process. And that is exactly the nature of God's promise in the new covenant for us. The nature of God's kingdom. The not yet. So, if you go to 1 John, for instance, chapter 2, it says, beloved, we are God's children. Period. We are. But he keeps saying, and what we will be has not yet appeared. We are. Just as Paul called the brothers and sisters in the church of Corinth, saints. Because of our union with Christ. We are God's children. Ephesians 2:6, Paul says, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places, even though we are here today. That's the feeling, that's the promise, that's the truth that Joshua got here. I already gave, and I'm giving. Go and take it. So, God's promise, it is the first ground for us to be strong. God has provided us with something for us to do what he has commanded to do. And then, another ground we have here, just go to verse 7 and 8. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. What is the next ground here? What is at the heart of God's command here to be strong and courageous? It's a call to faith. It's a call to believe in God's word. That's the second ground here. We need to believe in God's promise. And we need to believe in God's word. And listen, observe, keep, obey. Now, put yourselves in the shoes of those people here. You are about to possess the promised land, which you know it's not an empty land, which you know you're going to face a lot of battles. And suppose you were Joshua, who already heard and saw the bad news about these lands, that at that land there are people stronger than Israel. And their cities are fortified and very large. Numbers 13. And here you are, few minutes prior of going to the battle. Here you are receiving God's spiritual instructions as preparation to take over the promised lands through physical battles. So the question for us is, how would you answer to God's instruction? You are going to a physical battle, and He is God giving you a spiritual instruction. What do you say to the Lord? Oh, Lord, not now, please. It's not a time for preaching. Have you heard about that? Have you heard something similarly? When you go to give some instructions to someone, perhaps your spouse, your children, please, don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. It's not about the Bible right now. We are going to a physical battle. I believe it will be more appropriate for you, O Lord, to give us instruction about military matters, not spiritual guidance, not the Bible right now. Have you done this before? No, the Bible has no words on this matter. Not here. I'm good on this, you know. I know how to do it. I don't need the Bible right now. There is a temptation here. Just as there is for us in our daily life. But Joshua understands that the success for Israel to take over the promised land is related to their walking with God. And it seems that the Israelites also understood the serious situation of having a covenant with God. Verse 18 showed that the Israelites as a nation, they understood the seriousness of trusting and obeying God's word as key for their success here. Verse 18, after Joshua assumes the command, the people answer to him, "Whoever rebels against you, Joshua, against your commandments, and disobey your words, whatever you command him, that person shall put to death." And again, God is not giving new sanctions to the Israelites. They know what God's talking about here. God is talking about Deuteronomy chapter 28. The blessings for trusting and obeying God's word, and the curses for not trusting and disobeying God's word. It's pretty simple. Be courageous. Be strong. In other words, keep my word. Listen to my word. Obey my word. And you will do well. And we have a great example here in the following chapters. Chapter 6. by following God's instructions and obeying God's word, the Israelites took over Jericho. But then, chapter 7, what's happened? The Israelites fell before the man of Ai. And go to chapter 7, first verse 1, right in the beginning, you see what's happened. And right in the beginning, verse 1, we find the answer why Israel fell. And it says, it was because the people of Israel broke faith. You see that? I said that it's a call to faith. Not being strong and not being courageous is disbelieving in God. Not trusting in God. And so the people here broke faith. How? Well, you know the story here. One of the men of Israel from the tribe of Judah, named Achan, did not listen, did not obey, did not keep God's word. And when he was caught up, I believe he repented. And see how he answered, how he translates his sin. Verse 20-21, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. And he confessed his sin. When I saw among the spoil of a beautiful cloak from China and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted and took them. So Achan translates his sin as breaking, first of all, the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. And then he broke the 8th, you shall not steal. So being strong and courageous means keep God's word. God has provided everything the Israelites needed to be strong and courageous. It was just a matter of listening, just a matter of trusting, just a matter of obeying God's word. But they broke faith so many times. And how many times we have broke faith? For not keeping, for not trusting God's word. I was speaking with someone yesterday about saving grace. It's a person who believes that if she doesn't do the work, she cannot be saved. It's salvation by work. And I said, no, it's by grace. But it's too good to believe. It is too good to believe sometimes that what is written in God's word is enough for us. So we fear, we disbelieve, and we break faith. So be strong and courageous. It's a call to faith regarding God's promise, regarding God's word, but also regarding God's everlasting presence. Verse 5 and 9. Again, think about the impact of Moses' death on Joshua and Israel. In verse 5 and 9, he answered the question whether or not Joshua could take over the leadership. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm wondering if you wonder whether or not, Joshua, you are able to fulfill a call. My presence is enough. Just as my word, just as my promise. And notice here these words to Joshua. They are identical to God's words to Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 24, chapter 11, verse 25. And these words here, I will be with you, are also identical promise that God made to Isaac, chapter 26, Jacob, chapter 31 in Genesis, and with Moses, Exodus, chapter 3, and even to Joshua. Moses had already told Joshua that God, you'd be with him. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Now God himself is standing, telling Joshua, I'll be with you. So be strong, be courageous. There is no self-courageous here. It's outside of him. It is God who is going to walk with him, who is going to never, never forsake him. In verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As you know, throughout the Old Testament, the Lord used this covenant language. I will be with you. I will be your God and you be my people. This is a covenant language here to encourage his covenant people to be strong, to be courageous. They should rely on God's presence. Moses is done. It's over. God is with us. As you can see here, God's everlasting promises to his covenant people is related to his everlasting presence among his people. Why? Why? Because only God can do what he promises. Now, moving to the New Testament, Jesus' ascension also had a significant impact in the life of his disciples. But in the same way he provided his words, he provided his promise, and he provided his presence. That's why Jesus anticipated to his disciples by saying, I will not leave you as orphans, but rather I will send you. I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will remind you about everything that I have taught you. And everything that the Holy Spirit reminded the disciples about what Jesus has taught them, it is here today. God is with us through his words, through his promise, and through himself. His Holy Spirit now lives in us. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told his disciple, after Peter gave his right heavenly answer, who do you think I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, on this rock, speaking about himself, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Just as we sung, Christ is the foundation of the church, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. In Matthew 28, Jesus, in his final words, just as God's final words to Joshua, Jesus came and said to his disciple, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the ends of the age. A lot of people, when they are trying to understand what kind of type is the promised land for us today, people in the wrong way interpret as a rest, as the Sabbath. And they're wrong. The promised land is a type of conquest, conflict, battle. And that is where the church stands right now in this place, in this world, in a battle. And the same way, God is not only encouraging us to not be afraid, He is commanding us. There is no option here. But at the same time, He is providing for us. He is providing for us everything. His promise, His word, and His presence. Saint Augustine, in his prayer, one day he said, "O Lord, command what You will and give what You command." He knew that God never commands what He can never fulfill. And today we have everything. You just read here all the promise, the authority, the power, everything. We just need to be strong and courageous and to possess the promised land. And I want to finish with an illustration story here. We don't have too much kids here today, but it's a story about this animal, very difficult to pronounce in English, but I'll try. Camel. He lives in the wilderness. So here are the camel and his son. And the son asks, "Daddy, sometimes I'm wondering about my body, you know, very strange if I compare to other animals. So why?" His father asks, "You know, what about these huge things here in my back? So strange, you know. I don't feel comfortable. It's weird." And then the father said to the pop, to his son, "Buddy, you know, in the wilderness, it's very difficult to find water. But when we find here in this strange thing that you think, we can keep water for so many days." And the son, "Wow, it's amazing how God created us. Yeah. But Dad, what about these long legs? I don't like them. It's too long. I mean, yeah, but in the wilderness, we have those sinking sand that you can fall. And because of your long legs, you can get out of those danger sands." "Oh, that's amazing. God really loves us." "Yeah. But that one more thing. What about these long eyelid here? Eyelids. It's too long." "No, son. It's because in the desert, in the wilderness, we have these storms of sands. And those long eyelids can protect us." "Really? That's amazing. How God provides everything for us, Dad." "Yes, son." And then comes the last question. "Dad, what are we doing here in the zoo?" So God gave us everything, church. Everything. His promise, His word, His presence. For what? For us to be strong and courageous and to fulfill the call to faith that He has given to us. To conquer. May God give His grace for us to do so. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your holy word, which inspire us, which empower us. But how many times, O Lord, we have neglected to live out those truths of the gospel. Lord, You have never promised us something that You had not given us before. Help us, O Lord, to fulfill our call as a church in this community, in our life, in our sanctification. Help us, O Lord. May Your Holy Spirit apply those words into our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.